The next guest dives into a psychological and emotional torment that ensued after his father's death. A first memoir, a memoir told by a child of 9/11. That author, Matt Bocci, on the line. His book is out, Sway, 9 years old and losing a father to 9/11. Matt, good morning. Welcome to The Morning Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you hanging out in New Jersey in these times. And I know you are on a great mission to inspire and provide hope in many ways because your work that we discuss now is certainly described as, full of heartbreak and despair, yet there is happiness and hope. And Matt, I hope you never get tired of that question that we ask you at 9 years old. What do you remember?
Well, no, I don't get tired of it. It's important for me to remember too. Otherwise, you know, I'll start trying to forget. And so 9 years old, I was sitting in my classroom in fourth grade. I remember getting called out of the class and, I walked out into the hallway. It was me and another student from our class. And, my brother Nick, who was seven at the time, was waiting there with the other guys. The other young man's brother, both of our dads worked in the World Trade Center. And they brought us into a room and told us that a plane hit the building and they're evacuating the building. There's nothing to worry about. And those two brothers' father ended up surviving. He was on a lower floor. But Nick and I stayed in school the entire day. The rest of our school and pretty much our town is very small and our school is very small. So, the majority of the kids in our classes were taken out probably, 15 minutes after the first plane hit, before there was really any craziness. So we stayed in school the entire day and got home that day and walked up the street. Our house is on a cul-de-sac and on a hill, and our house is the first house on the right. So, you know, we started walking up, we got off the bus. It was pretty much just me and my brother on the bus besides the bus driver. And we walked up the hill and I just remember approaching the house and seeing a myriad of cars and vans and trucks all parked in weird and, you know, puzzly looking positions. You know, it wasn't really normal looking, as if people were coming over for dinner. And so, you know, we walked inside and basically, we walked down the hallway into the living room where the TV was, and just seeing the amount of people that were in our house, in the kitchen and in the living room, watching the television, seeing what was going on. And pretty much immediately, you know, we get into the living room and see, I remember looking at the TV and seeing some of the footage. And at that point, maybe about 5 minutes later, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, had told Nick and I, you know, she pulled us aside. She's like, I think you guys should go to your friend's house. And she edged us out of the house because it was a lot going on and there was a lot of emotions and people on the phones, calling hotlines and stuff like that, calling my dad's cell phone. And so we got out of there pretty quickly.
Yes. And hence, many years ago, you now a grown man and you now an author that shares your story. With our limited time, Matt, I'm going to ask you, you actually spent many of your years with a quest to find out how your father passed?
Yeah. My quest pretty much began in, you know, I'd say I was about probably 10 years old. I mean, I don't remember if I really started having these questions right after he died, in the sense of how poignant and direct I was. But when he died, I knew a few things. I knew that he called my mom, he called my mom again, and he also talked to his brother, my uncle. And that was all I knew. And so they found him very quickly. They came to our house and told us that they found him very quickly. I didn't know how he died. I knew they found him, didn't know how or what happened to him. And so I began looking at these videos and pictures because I knew obviously where he worked. He was on the 105th floor of the North Tower. And I knew there was so many videos and pictures showing people hanging out of the windows, not necessarily people that jumped, but people that were hanging out of the windows and gasping for air. So I began zooming in on some of these photos. I had a photography app that I was able to download on my computer to try to blow up and enhance these photos. I even reached out to one of the main photographers who took some of the most well-known photos of these jumpers, asking him to meet with me because, you know, I had seen a documentary where families, it just happened to be that they were Cannon Fitzgerald families, met with this guy and were able to identify their family members because he was able to blow up the photos for them, and it gave them some peace in mind. So I continued to ask these questions to family members, my mom in particular, and people started to realize this is just not healthy that this young man is doing this. 12, 13, 14-year-old kid is doing this and asking these types of questions. And I had one uncle who took advantage of that vulnerability. He's an uncle through marriage and sexually abused me for some time after telling me, yeah, your dad jumped, which I was later to find out was not the truth. And and that led me down, you know, an even deeper path of shame and guilt.
Yes, that shame and guilt, that drug and alcohol abuse, where you describe it as years lost in an attempt to numb the pain. And obviously, as we speak today, you are sober, finding happiness and hope. With 2 minutes left, Matt, tell me more about Sway and what we find in your work.
My main message and really what kind of pushed me to write the book in the first place was the fact that I dealt with years and years of living in such a dark abyss, and, you know, there never seemed to be a way out. And the way that I had been viewing telling my story is almost as if I'm still in that abyss, but I'm gasping for light, and this light that I'm kind of chasing is some sort of life-saving oxygen that would save my life in the process. And so my main goal is by getting vulnerable and sharing my story, I can somehow inspire people and show them that there is a way out, that there is hope to be found, that no matter how, you know, dire or bad the situation may seem, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And not only that, but by trying to inspire and help other people by sharing my story, sometimes, well, what I found in my experience is that people are able to get honest about their own struggles. They're able to get vulnerable about their own struggles and maybe admit to something that they've been keeping secret for a long time, just as I did. And it helps me. It helps me stay sober by sharing my experience, strength, and hope with other people.
Stay the course. Thanks to you. Many more questions, but they're probably found in your latest book, Sway. How do we find out more information and get a hold of your book, Matt Bocci?
My website is Matthew John Bocci. BOCCHI.com. You could find more information there. There's multiple links: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Apple Books, Nook, Kindle.
It's where they all are these days. Matt, thank you. Kudos to your family and sharing your story in Sway. Thank you.